Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
We are back.
Yeah.
Mike's
right.
back.
Welcome
with
to the
too.
Show.
He was out sickly last week, but he's back this week, given some medication from the doctor and feeling good. So, doing better.
Considering.
Welcome to the program. And if you are following in the titles this week, we do have a special guest. And
yes.
She'll be coming on in a couple of minutes, I guess. Bug out of here and take care of that.
Hold on. We are All About Wine. If you want to call in and talk to Tracy, who is our guest, by all means do so. Again, keep it on the subject. We are All About Wine.
Unless your name is Gary, supposedly from Wisconsin, and it was at January 26th. I wrote all that stuff down. I got all that. And it was edited. It was edited out within a few minutes after the show, and re-uploaded. We're not going to do that again. You know what? I think when they call now, I'm just going to say, "What's your question?" Okay. Listen, I'll be right back. No, come on. Hey, Ron, we just had somebody with this question. Here it is.
Okay.
Now,
are you going to be nice? Because if you're going to not be nice, we're going to cut you off immediately.
Yeah, they can all say that, though. I mean,
That's true. Yeah, you were fast, though. I have to give you credit. You were very fast hitting the button. So.
I don't know if you could hear me when he was talking, but it started going downhill. The more I listened to it, I was like, okay, no.
Yeah.
And I had the button ready, and I was like, no, this ain't happening. The problem is, once it's already done, it goes out, and you have to go back.
Keep it on wine. Yeah, that's all there is to it. Okay. He's going to go get Tracy on the show here. Tracy Reichow, I think it's pronounced Reichow. Reichow of Black Cat Vineyards in Napa Valley is going to be with us tonight. I contacted Tracy 2-3 weeks ago when they had all those rains out in California and Napa and all that. We were seeing all about the mudslides and rains. I called 3 or 4 wineries out there and asked if there was any problems. Tracy was one of them I called, and I just left a message. She called me back and said, you know, talk to me about the rains and what was going on. Interesting little conversation. I said, by the way, would you mind being on the radio program? And she said, I would love to. And so last week she was gone. I'll have her tell. She went to the big wine convention out in California. I'll have her talk about that for a little bit here. But she's able to come on tonight. She's not going to be able to spend the whole hour with us. She has an appointment coming in at 4:30, actually 4:30 her time, 7:30 Eastern here. And so we'll find out what is what's going on with her and what's happening out in California and what's happening at her vineyard, and have her tell us about the vineyard a little bit and what's going on there. And we'll hopefully get her on here soon. Mike is out calling her right now. I don't know if there's an issue. He usually gets through pretty quickly, and for some reason they're both there, but they're both not coming back with us. I'll tell you what we can do. We can tell you about what's come. Oh, there they are. She's in the green room, and Mike is back with us, and we'll get her. I'm just getting ready to tell everybody about what this next week has in store, but I'll tell you that at the end so you can plan your drinking around that. let's get Tracy on here. Hello, Tracy. Welcome to All About Wine.
Hi, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you can find the time to join us tonight. Last name, Reichow?
It's actually pronounced Ryko, Long I, Long O, but nobody gets it right. So pretty much everybody calls me Tracy at Black Cat.
Okay, that's much easier, yeah.
Right.
I just tell the listeners before you came on that you weren't able to come on last week because you were attending the big wine show in Sacramento. How did that go?
Yeah.
The
Unified Symposium. I'm told it's the largest gathering of winemaking vendors in the world, that it even rivals Bordeaux, right? And I believe it after being there. It's a 2-day event, which includes multiple seminars and I think 3 floors in the convention center of vendors that sell everything that have to do with winemaking and viticulture and even a little brewery stuff there. And in fact, they were saying in the newspaper that in the Sacramento paper, where this takes place in the Sacramento Convention Center, that they were straining the limits of the hotel rooms in Sacramento.
Ooh.
Largest convention possibly ever in the city of Sacramento, California.
Gee.
I know.
That's something there.
It was crazy. I mean, for me, you know, this is akin to, you know, when I was a kid and the Sears and Roebuck toy catalog would be delivered, you know, because you can just wander for hours and hours and see every possible winemaking toy that you could ever imagine, and some that you never could have imagined. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it really is. They have one here in the East Coast one every year, and it's split up. There's 2 of them now, but Wines and Vines magazine sponsors one big one, and I went to it a few years ago, and oh my gosh, I loved it. I just wandering around and looking at all the stuff and all the vendors and everything they had and all that. I really know what you're talking about, because it was just fascinating. I mean, you fill up a bag full of stuff that you know you'll never need, never use, but it's still fun to look at all this stuff for days afterwards.
It is. It really is. And to have them all in one place so you can compare apples to apples is really it's once a year that really can't come often enough for me.
Yeah. This your first one, or you've been to others?
Oh, my goodness, no. So I've been making wine for, 20 years now.
Wow.
So I have been going to the symposium since I first started viticulture classes, and my professor was handing out free passes for the symposium and said, anybody want to go? Here's a free pass. And I thought, well, what the heck, why not? And, I went. I came back home and went, oh, my gosh, honey, this is Disneyland for grown-ups.
It is. Even the little bit smaller one out here on the East Coast, you just go, oh, wow, that's so cool. You know? And all the people you talk to are very knowledgeable, and so you can't help but soak up some information and all that. So
It is.
So Black Cat Vineyard, give us a little background on it. Tell us about the origins and what you do and all that there.
Oh, my goodness. So it's a crazy little accidental business, I guess, you know. I always call it
into a yard and start to make wine. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a very Alice in Wonderland like adventure. I had a first career that I loved. I was very happy. I was a bond trader, an investment banker. And I retired from that when our kids got to be school age in order to spend more time baking cookies and delivering children to and from swim lessons, et cetera. And we moved to the Napa Valley because we were living on the East Coast at the time, but we moved here to because my husband and I had been here many times. I had actually underwritten a bond issue for the Mondavi Winery in the early 80s and discovered the Napa Valley. So we were regular visitors here. It was so much fun. So we decided, since we only had one career to try to manage instead of two, we were going to try to do it from the West Coast. So we moved here and had horses. So we bought some acreage in the Napa Valley. And then and I thought, you know, it would be a I naively thought it was going to be just a fun family project for the kids and I, who were like 9 and 10 years old at the time, to plant a few grapevines in the front pasture. And I mean, you're in the Napa Valley. You got extra dirt. What are you going to do, right?
Got to have a grapevine, yeah.
Right. So so I enrolled in the local community college to learn how to do that. And that was 1996, and that's the last thing I remember.
You've been tired ever since.
Yeah, it was I ran down that rabbit hole as fast as I could. It was so much fun. And the kids and I did plant 3.5 acres first, 3,537 vines in our front yard, so to speak. And started selling fruit to other wineries, and I continued taking classes and ultimately ended up at UC Davis and studied winemaking there and made my first vintage of wine in 1999. First commercial vintage was 2004, and was working as a winemaker at a custom crush winery, which is a winery that makes wine for several clients.
Everybody. Yeah.
Right. And so I was making wine for about 40 clients and getting a lot of great experience and enjoying it. And I started making wine from our own vineyards at the time. And I don't know. You know, the next thing I know, I'm building a winery, and it was a very crazy, crazy journey. It still continues to be a crazy journey. My oldest, who was 10 years old when we were planting this first vineyard, has rejoined the business this year as a 30-year-old with, you know, 8 years experience in the financial world.
Yeah, I have to follow mom's footsteps both ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it continues to be a family adventure. There's only four of us that work here, and I'm the winemaker and the owner. I'm also the vineyard manager in all six vineyards, and then everybody else, you know, the other three, basically work really hard to make me look good. Is what happens. So we make a little less than 2,000 cases of wine a year, mostly reds, and all, you know, Bordeaux varietals and Syrah and some Mountain Zinfandel, and which is crazy, you know, if you're only making 2,000 cases to only make a couple hundred cases of each of those wines, but it's crazy fun too, and so.
One you said on your website, I was, you know, in fact, yeah. Mike and I were looking at your website before the show started, and we were commenting about the low number of cases on each one. You know, it's just,
right.
I mean, it's, there's not
these
many.
These are handmade wines. There are only four humans that ever touch this wine before you open a bottle of it. And I sell fruit also. Out of
Do you
my
still?
Vineyard.
Yeah.
Yes, to other winemakers, because I don't really, I'm not interested in you know, making myself crazy trying to, you know, get too busy, because I really like to do everything. I farm the vineyards, I make the wine, and I sell the wine. And I like being able to do all those things. It's a balance for me that feels like completing a circle. And so it is crazy the way we do it, but you know, as we always say, it's consistent with the mission statement here at Black Cat Vineyard, which is fun for Tracy. And so as long as it's fun for Tracy, then we're good.
I've heard a lot of mission statements. I like that. I do. I like
it's actually that. It's actually harder than you imagine to maintain a mission statement like that, because sometimes, you know, you find yourself doing things when you're running a business that that are not pleasant, that you're thinking, ugh, you know, and so you have to sort of cull those things out. Say, okay, now how can I keep doing the fun stuff without doing the crappy jobs?
But the crappy job makes the fun stuff even more fun. So you have to do the crap. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't ever have to do any one job for very long, so I don't get too crazy sick of it yet. So.
Yeah, that's always good. You said you have what, six vineyards?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scattered all over
the Napa Valley.
Are they? Total of how many acres? 10, 12?
Oh, gosh. People ask me that question all the time, and it's hard to know exactly. I should just add up all the number of vines. These are small vineyards. You know,
that's what I say. Total of 10, 12 acres.
Right.
That's,
More in about mid-20s, I'd say.
Really?
Because remember, I sell fruit, too.
Oh, you sell fruit,
Right, but a couple of the vineyards are only like an acre. You know, I have a Cab Franc vineyard in Rutherford that's only an acre, and the Zinfandel vineyard on Hall Mountain is only about an acre. And that's just perfect for me, and it gives me the opportunity to really hand farm all of the vineyards and not get overwhelmed with, although it happens, you know, some years, you know, depending, like this year, with the weather, we're raining cats and dogs out here, which is wonderful. Not
right now?
Complaining. Yes.
Right now?
Yes. Sideways winds and raining like crazy.
Wow.
And
they're telling us about the snow in Boston and New York, but they don't say anything about you. Wow.
Well, I think it's old news now, because nobody, you know, there's nothing wrong with the rain. It doesn't hurt the vines, and then everyone's happy about it here. Very happy.
Yeah. I'm
starting to stress a little bit, because this is cutting into my pruning time. I usually can prune the vineyards leisurely over the winter. And I'm now kind of, you know, maybe run up against some time constrictions and I don't like that.
All four of you out there and do that.
I might have to work more than four hours at a time.
Are all the vineyard yours? You own each of them?
No, some of them I own. Some of them I have what's called a land contract. So it's like a 50-year lease on the land. I could rip the vines out if I wanted to, as long as there's vines on it at the end of that contract. And, you know, I have a varying setup, and pretty much these are vineyards that I've planted or collected over the last 20 years as I could afford them. And also as they, you know, I'm interested in something that's really a lot smaller than most commercial wineries are looking for. So,
in reality, they
pop up.
Isn't a lot of Napa Sonoma like what you have? I mean, there's a lot of little small boutique wineries. And Paso Robles is another one, Livermore Valley. Mm-hmm. A lot of these little small wineries like you have all these little scattered vineyards around that they take care of, that they get, and they source their grapes and stuff. And so, I think people don't quite understand that. I think when someone walks into a winery, I mean, you know, like my winery, they come in, they go, "Where's the grapevines?" Well, they're not here. I've got them somewhere else. The hurricanes destroyed them. And they go, "Well, you know, a winery should have a vineyard." No, it doesn't have to. It just, a lot of them are spread out all over the place. And so...
Well, yeah, and you know, it's really every vineyard. Even if you have, for example, I grow Cabernet in four different vineyards in the Napa Valley, and all four of those wines are distinctly different. They're recognizably different. It's, you know, the terroir is a real thing, and so to have a variety of terroir to work with as a winemaker is joyful and challenging.
And fun. So much fun. Yes.
Fun. That's the mission statement.
That's
fun,
the mission statement. Yeah. There you go. When I first contacted you, I was asking you about the weather and the rains and how the rains have affected it. And you, as everyone up there that I called throughout the state, said the same thing. It's winter, they're dormant, we don't have an issue. But I get e-letters from a bunch of different wineries I've talked to over the years. And there, a lot of them in California are saying, we're getting a lot of water and it's affecting our pruning. You mentioned that too.
You don't want to go out there and stand in, you know, ankle deep water while you're pruning. You know, that sounds like work, not fun.
It is work. Yeah, I know. I said, I lost 10 acres of grapes to the hurricanes 13 years ago. And it really was. And, you know, the first one went through and I'm out there in water and I'm trying to do stuff and all that. And it was work. And by the time the last one, I just stood out there in the middle of the field crying because I knew they were gone. And, you know, with all this rain coming up, those things start getting in closer to the spring here and all that, you all may have an issue out there.
This is only the beginning of February. So we would expect to be having regular rain through March. Where it becomes an issue is if it drags into April and May, and then, you know, because the last thing you want to do is have a weather event like rain or wind during bloom.
Right.
And
yeah.
Like we did in 2015. In 2015, we had a very dry winter. It rained like crazy early in the winter, and then it just stopped raining. And then the vines all budded out early. And so we were now, what we would normally be dealing with bloom in, say, early May, we are now dealing with bloom in April. And April's weather is much windier. And, of course, we had a wind and hail storm right at bloom for Cabernet. So I lost about 50% of my crop. in one windstorm, you know, because it blew all of the blossoms off of the grapevines. As you know, grapevines pollinate themselves with
right.
their flowers. And if those flowers get blown away, then you don't have a berry in that spot. So I had my crop was down anywhere from 30 to 50% in 2015 vintage because of that. But for now, for this year, we're good. I mean, the things that if you want to find something to worry about in regard to the rain, and pretty much I can find something to worry about no matter what. So we could invent a few things, but we don't want our topsoil washing away. You know, when we're having these heavy, heavy rains, if you have any slope at all to your vineyard, you know, you're worried about losing topsoil down the hill. And you also, you don't want vines sitting in water that's deeper than their bud union, than the graft union. If they're sitting in water that's maybe partway up the trunk, you could have Eutypa issues. You could have things that want to, little spores that want to crawl underneath the lignified bark of the vine and cause trouble. And those are the things that keep farmers awake at night.
Yes.
It's too early to worry about that now.
Like I said, my grapevines were planted in the spring, and then the hurricanes went through in the fall. So they were young. They did not have a chance to get established, and they drowned. It was just they had no way to breathe, and it killed them there. But, yeah, I'm not over it. I still get a little teary-eyed every once in a while. But
understandably.
It was an issue. Your wines, you just sell them out of the winery there, or do you have places?
When I first started, I sold to a distributor, and I was, you know, selling in restaurants and wine shops all across the country, in Florida too. And crazily, the financial crisis of 2008 my sales tripled that year. And I don't know if people were just drinking more. My theory is that people were staying home more, and they went down to their cellar and they found a bottle of Black Cat Vineyard wine and opened it to drown their sorrows and went, oh my gosh, this wine's delicious. We need more. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And there you go.
But for whatever reason, my sales tripled in right after the recession, and then continued to increase in 2009. So I had to make the decision to either make more wine or to stop selling direct to consumer or stop selling to restaurants. And I chose to stop selling to restaurants and wine shops. So since like 2009 or 10, the wines have only been available from the winery. And then in the last couple of years, what's happened is I have a very thirsty wine club. And so most of the wines sell out to the wine club, almost immediately upon release. And here isn't a lot of them. It's not like I'm Mondavi here, you know. I'm making a couple hundred cases of each of these wines, you know.
But I have always been a very, very big Cabernet Franc fan. And I noticed they're sold out. You know, I mean, I'm telling you.
Oh, and that is one of those wines. So Cabernet Franc is so interesting, I find. It is sort of a polarizing wine among consumers. They either love it or they hate it. And those that love it are just rabid for it. So it becomes a bit of a scrum every spring when I release the Cabernet Franc. It's like, you know, bing, 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 bing. Order, order, order. And it's really very crazy, but it is a delicious wine if you're very careful. I would never make Cabernet Franc that I didn't farm myself, because you do have to be very careful with methylpyrazines, and you have to farm it pretty aggressively. I always tell people that farming Cabernet Franc is sort of like raising a teenage daughter. You know, when she's good, she's really, really good. But when she's bad, she's meaner than a junkyard dog.
Yeah. I have a daughter, and yeah, she's old, but yes, she went through those teen years.
Anybody who has a daughter knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what you're talking about, yeah. Oh, no doubt. The Cabernet Franc, whenever I ask people, I say, I have a Chardonnay. I say the Chardonnay is number one, the Chardonnay is number one selling wine in this country. Anyone want to guess on number two? And people say Cabernet, and I always say Cabernet Franc, and they look at me, and they go, no, Cabernet Sauvignon. It's like, what's a Cabernet Franc? And I'm going, you know, it's great. Need to really familiar with the Cabernet Franc. It's a wonderful wine.
And you know, with the way that we have all sort of changed our eating habits in the last decade, it is a perfect foil to Cabernet Sauvignon, because it's a parent grape of Cabernet Sauvignon, and so it has a lot of the same fruit and berry and spice characteristics that Cabernet Sauvignon has, but it's lighter on the palate, so it works wonderfully with like salmon on the grill, or my favorite is, you know, a smoked pork roast with a marinade on it. That, you know, really Cabernet Franc is so wonderful with that.
I had a Cabernet Franc with a Reuben sandwich once, and I think it was one of the best combinations I ever had.
Oh. That sounds wonderful.
It
really
was
wonderful.
It was great. That Cabernet Franc and that Reuben sandwich is just like each mouthful of either the sandwich or the wine is just like heaven. Yeah. Yeah. It was
yum.
Yeah. So there's something to try too, you know, for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then, you know, that's one of the fun things, as you know, going on this journey of exploration of wine with people who visit the winery, you know, for tasting, because it's like you're creating new wine enthusiasts every day. They're, you know, you're introducing them to Cabernet Franc, which they never would have probably picked up off of a shelf without somebody, you know, guiding them. And it's so fun to watch people, you know, go through that journey. That's the magic of wine, right? Every bottle you open is like a new adventure, right?
Every bottle. And it gives you something new to talk about, and it gives you something that said, oh, I got to find it again. Then you never can. And it's just ongoing thing like that.
Fun.
When you're in Napa. Napa's famous for all the wineries and stuff like that. How is, and I reached up every once in a while, how is the government treat you out there? How is Napa and the state of California to wineries?
You know, when I moved here, I'd lived in Texas before, I'd lived in the Midwest before, lived on the East Coast before, and when we moved to California, it was a bit of a shock at the amount of regulation. For example, the reason that the winery is called Black Cat Vineyard is because when the kids and I started planting these grapevines, and there was this wonderful feral cat that was out there helping us, right? But we're planting these grapevines. I get a letter from the state of California Alcoholic Beverage Control saying I can't do that without a license. And I'm like, wait a minute.
It's just grapevine.
I own this land, don't I?
Yeah.
I can't plant plants on my own land. Right. And so I'm like, all right, fine, I'll fill out all your paperwork. And they required a DBA, a name for the business. And so I asked the kids, I'm like, kids, pick a name. The state of California says we have to have a name for this. And I guess I'm really, really lucky that they picked Black Cat Vineyard, because it could have just as easily been Pokemon or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Or Tommy's Grapes.
Yeah. But so aside from, you know, that sort of shock, the wonderful thing about Napa County and Napa Valley, and I can't speak to too much outside of here because this is the only place I've lived in California, but it is, everybody here, it feels like they're in the wine business, even if they're, you know, a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief, right? They all feel like they're in the wine business because, you know, that's what we do here, and that's what everyone talks about, and it's so collaborative. You know, the big guys help the little guys, and the little guys help the other little guys, and it isn't a proprietary feeling among within the industry, which is really, you know, it's farming. You know, everybody helps everybody else, and
I've
so.
I've always said that.
That's been
people
my
help people. It's not a cutthroat. It's not anything. I've been doing this program since early 2009, and we get a hold of wineries, and they talk. They love to talk about their winery. It's not like it's like, well, that's a secret. It never happens. It's just, people.
Well, humans have been making wine for thousands of years, and so
yes.
I think all the secrets are out there now.
I think so. Speaking of which, there is the newest edition of National Geographic has a real nice article on alcohol, the origins of alcohol, wine, beer, spirits, all that. It really is interesting. You need to check that out. Just, you know.
Oh, I will. Absolutely. That sounds fascinating. My favorite subject.
Yes, mine too.
I was going to say, on that note, there are a lot of wineries here in the Napa Valley that those with bigger budgets than I have that are experimenting with some fora and some ancient vessels. They're not actual ancient vessels. They're modern technology-made vessels that are emulating ancient winemaking vessels, which... Mm-hmm. It looks just absolutely fascinating to see these. Some of them are amphora, some are egg shaped, some are, you know, made out of concrete it's very cool.
We have a lady who is one of my listeners, Irene King, who's. Has all sorts of certification and everything. She's been a great guest a couple of times. And she was talking a lot about the cement vessels and how a lot of wineries are going back to that to try to get more of an original taste to it. So, you know, it's just there's a lot of those going around. I mean, not just there, but I've talked to people in different parts of the country who are trying a lot of odd things. That's mainstream winery stuff. So it's, you know, it's interesting. Interesting things are going on. It's all over the place.
It is, and people are so happy to share their information or their experiences with these new types of or old types of equipment and whatnot.
And it's just it'd be interesting to taste some of the results too. That's what I'm looking forward to try something that has been aged in those and see if it has affected the fruit or anything.
Yeah, when I was in winemaking school in the 90s, they took us up to Maya Camas Winery here in the Napa Valley on top of the western ridge of the Napa Valley. And they were still using, this is like 96, 97, they were still using concrete fermentation vessels that have been in the winery for decades, and so they showed us, you know, how they work and how they're different, and my thought was, geez, how do you sanitize something like that? But, you know, they tell me something about the pH in the cement or something. I don't know. But it was fascinating.
I lived in Concord, down Walnut Creek, Concord, that area there north of Livermore for a number of years. And my economist was using the concrete vessels back then. And they were, this was late 70s. They were proud of the fact that they were coming out with these wines that were in the concrete and how they were and all that. So I didn't know they still carried them on for that long. It's good.
Yeah, I'm told that the tannins are softer in wines that are fermented in concrete.
Really? Yeah.
But I haven't personally experienced it. So.
And that's just that you want to, but then you say, well, is this in concrete? No, I don't think so. So you never know. They need to put it on label,
right.
Concrete aged. And you're going, oh,
then
people will be scared. We'll love it. We'll pick it up. We'll drink it. But you won't be scared. Concrete? Now it's supposed to be oak. So you never know. You never know. So, Mike, you have any questions for Tracy?
He was listening. Yes. Oh, yeah. I didn't hear you mention anything about I know you talked about the club briefly. You could tell us a little bit more about that if you have time. And do you have a tasting room there? Do you have is it someplace? I saw pictures on the website that looked like you had maybe an event going on or something.
Party. Yeah. The only event I really do is the wine club party once a year at harvest season. And yes, I do have a tasting room. Although I don't host a lot of tastings anymore because the wine is pretty well allocated to the wine club. And so we generally see new guests that are referred by existing wine club members, which sounds pretty unwelcome, doesn't it? But you see, this is the problem when you set a boundary for yourself in terms of how much wine you're going to produce. You have to be sure that you have time to accomplish all the things you've promised all those wonderful people that you're doing for them. And so I don't really host as many tastings. I used to host tastings every single day at the winery. And now it's a lot less than that, just a bit. Which is kind of, crazy. But, hey, remember the mission statement, right? Fun for Tracy.
Fun for Tracy.
And I always host tasting appointments myself because I feel like this is the face of my company. This is people have spent a lot of time, a lot of treasure to journey all the way to the Napa Valley to learn something new about wine, and they deserve to speak to somebody who actually touches the wine, who actually makes the wine.
Which limits
me a bit.
I always conduct all tastings at the winery here too, so I know the winemaker is going to talk to you about it, and I'm going to teach you something, and they're always thrilled and happy about that.
That's why you came. I mean, you could have stayed home and just all you wanted to do is drink wine in a beautiful place. I'm sure there's lots of beautiful places at home to do that, but you came all the way out here, so I'm going to make sure you leave with some knowledge that's brand new to you, that's going to help you explore more of the magic of wine, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good approach. I love it. That's exactly the type of approach that I take. I'm going to teach you something, and you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to find something new and interesting today. So, shipping. Do you still ship to Florida?
I do.
Do you?
So I'm sitting here in my office with a black cat on my lap, of course.
Ah,
not the original
of
one.
Of course. Oh, I know.
if you hear yelping, it's not me. It's the cat. Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh. Oh, shoot. But,
I have a winery kitty too, a winery cat too, that's, an adopted cat from a local SPCA.
Well, the namesake of the winery, he's, this is one of these things you learn when you name your winery after a pet. You know, they don't live forever.
They don't.
So the original black cat died in 2008 or 9. But people still, every time they come, they're like, well, where's the black cat?
Where's the black cat?
Do you have pictures? Oh, well, he's dead.
Do you have pictures? I mean,
but here I have another one.
Yeah. But you got to have pictures, you know, a big picture on the wall and a little sign underneath it, founder.
I do. Portrait, yes, his portrait hangs in the winery. He is famous. We continue to, you know, rescue kitties for sure. As this one here is letting me know. sorry.
Yeah,
I'm so glad this is not FaceTime.
Surprise, we got you. Look at the
And on that note, Ron, I see I'm going to have to run. I have another appointment that just arrived.
Before you go, give us information for our guests, your Facebook page, your email address, your phone number, location, all this stuff, so anybody who would like to contact you or swing by can do so.
How wonderfully sweet. So you can always find me at blackcatvineyard.com, and that's vineyard singular, not plural, Black Cat Vineyard. And my email address is tracy@blackcatvineyard.com. And my Facebook page is Black Cat Vineyard. You notice a theme here, right?
There is. It's coming out very well, yes.
Yeah. And it's always me on the other end of all of those contact points. And so I'd be
You're located
happy to,
where? What's physical address?
And the physical address is 1352 4th Avenue. Napa, California.
Well, you are downtown.
But we only see people by appointment. We're out in Coombsville, which is about 10 minutes from downtown Napa, due east from downtown Napa. And the Coombsville AVA is actually the 16th and newest AVA in the Napa Valley. That was a big accomplishment that several of us in the neighborhood got together and worked for a few years getting that accomplished. It
takes a long time. Yeah.
It does. And lots of paperwork. But it got done.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, well, you have someone waiting for you. Thank you, Tracy, for your time tonight. I really do appreciate it.
It was so nice chatting with you. Yeah. And Mike, too. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
And you guys have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for your interest and calling.
Well, thank you for being on with us tonight, and have yourself a good evening also.
That's awesome.
Great. All right, you guys take care.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Right.
Okay. There you go.
That was that. She said she's a talk thief. She is. That was fun.
Very cool. What are we at? 7:47 p.m.
7:47. I still have a couple of things I'm going to throw out to you here before we go, though. One thing I want to throw out to you here is coming up, if you are on the East Coast of the United States. Now, we just talked to the West Coast, but you're on the East Coast in New Jersey. The New Jersey Garden State Wine Growers Association is presenting its annual Wine and Chocolate Wine Trail this weekend. That's February 11th and 12th. It's at participating wineries throughout New Jersey, Garden State. Excuse me. It goes on for both Saturday and Sunday, noon to 5 each day. You're encouraged to visit multiple wineries along the wine trails throughout the state, showcasing the award-winning New Jersey wines. There are over 50 wineries now operating in New Jersey, from Sussex County to the tip of Cape May, and a special wine and chocolate events. The wineries will be offering new releases, tastings, pairings,
tours. There'll be live music and entertainment, special food preparations, and dinners also at some of the wineries. So that is this coming weekend. You can get a hold of them. Some of the wineries are charging, you know, $10 for the wine tasting, souvenir wine glass, and a chocolate fountain. Some of them have DJs, country music and wine night. There's chocolate pairings every half hour at some of them. There's all sorts of stuff going on. But that is in New Jersey this weekend, 12 to 5 at participating wineries. To find out more, go to newjerseywines.com. Again, sponsored by Garden State Wine Growers, but newjerseywines with an S.com. And it'll give you more information, all that. So if you're up there in that area there, a great thing to do this weekend on that part of the country. And you can check that out and have fun with that. And another thing I want to tell you about, like I am going to do every week, is events coming up this week, what the week is, so that you can plan on how to taste your wine. Today is the 9th, which is National Bagels and Lox Day. So if you have not had your bagels and lox today, today is National Bagels and Lox Day. Tomorrow, National Have a Brownie Day, Plantation Spice Wine and Have a Brownie Day. The 11th, it doesn't give us a special day for the 11th. The 12th, though, coming up, Sunday, Abraham Lincoln's birthday, but it is also National PB&J Day, Peanut Butter and Jelly Day, Sunday. Monday, celebrate National Tortellini Day, which is part of the National Italian Food Day. So they got them both together there. Tuesday, we all know at the same time there, Valentine's Day. That's always a good one for chocolate and wine. And then Wednesday, it doesn't give a day here. That's sad. It says National Products Expo West starts. So that's something. And then next Thursday, the 16th, our next show, that is National Almond Day. So those are the events coming up that you can have wine and enjoy wine with each of those days. So, and one other quick thing I want to talk about here too is, no, I'm not. I just, plain packaging. I'll give you a little tease about this. Plain packaging. There's places over in Europe that is doing plain packaging on cigarettes. It just, the plain packaging, there's no brand name on it, no anything. And the couple countries are thinking about doing plain packaging for alcohol also. And so it could be a controversial subject coming up here where a wine bottle is just marked red wine and give you a warning on it that it could cause problems and all that, and that's it. We'll discuss that more next week. So there we go. I'll let Mike tell you about what's coming up here.
Oh, I'm just thinking about that. You can't just, yes. Hang on, let me swipe my in real quick. Clock in. Okay, good. plain packaging. I don't see any kind of benefit or anything to that. I mean, you're not saying anything like red wine. I'm not going to pick something up that just says, you know, nothing.
No, plain packaging. Again, we'll go into more detail next week, but that just teased there. But yeah, it's they're doing it on cigarette packs, and the cigarette pack shows, you know, healthy lungs, cigarette lungs, and it's just, you know, it's the cut back on smoking. There's countries that are thinking about doing that to alcohol also, which would include wine, beer, spirit. So
next week. So that's next week's show. I'll have to. I guess I'll tune in for that one. Let me see.
Yes, tune in for that.
We're
talking about plain packaging.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. This weekend, this Saturday, of course, it is February the 11th, and it's time for another Wine Fest, and I'll be right back. It's huge Wine Fest. It even got some press information or some press what do you call it? Awareness, advertising kind of article written space.
Yeah.
Press space. And it's going to be big. So we'll tell you more about it in just a minute. Hold on just a second. A minute and 15 seconds.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
All right. That's right. Come on out and enjoy the weekend. The weather is going to be fantastic. You can enjoy a glass of wine and also sit outside underneath the giant oak trees and enjoy the sounds of Constantine and just have a great day. You can also do a wine tasting with Ron. You know, last time I was, well, it was the birthday, but you were doing like multiple ones. That was, every time I saw you, just like at a, you know, the counter was full or both counters were full and you had, you know, people doing wine tasting. So it's always a great time to come out and do a wine tasting.
Yeah.
Just show a video.
Yeah. You want to do the
video
next
version of it?
Keep going. Yeah.
No, please pick up glass number two. We will now discuss glass number two.
No, two.
Number two, please. If your alarm went off, you picked up the wrong glass. Yeah. A little light underneath the glass.
Yeah.
Lit one. But it's a lot of fun and just a great presentation and everything. And, of course, being at the winery and there's a lot of gifts items out there as well. Not just in the gift shop. You can also shop in the gift shop. They got T-shirts and all kinds of wine-related things there. But step outside and enjoy the vendors Saturday. There's so many of them. I don't know how many, but only one time. You got essential oils. You got Young Living essential oils. You have Wendy that makes earrings, necklaces, and also bracelets and unique beads and stuff. E-cigarettes. O-Line E-Liquids Company line of vape juice. There will be represented out there. And of course, is that Lisa with Raffle Rescue? I think that's what it is. Yeah. Pet food program of Pasco County, Florida. That's Raffle Rescue will be there as well. And you got to bring your pet with you. So that's a good thing. But they do a lot of good in the community and a big help out there. So check out Raffle Rescue at Florida State's Winery. There's also, Pampered Chef. Wow. You got all kinds of going through. Christine, Cruise Planner Vacation Specialist. That's interesting. You can go talk to her there. It's indigocruiseandtravel.com. You also have I'm just going through these. Don is going to be back again with Don's Wooden Things. He does a lot of good scroll sawing stuff, fretwork, that kind of stuff. I bought some stuff last time I was there. And Susie's Dogs with her husband. He's a lot of it's amazing the detail that he does. Doggy Sweaters by Susan Marie, Hats Galore by Susan Marie, Susie's Dogs. They do hamburgers, really good food, grilled cheese, cheeseburgers, veggie burgers, hash browns, all kinds of stuff. And it's just a great time, and it's free to enter. You know, you don't have to. There's no free to park, free to enter, and it's a great event. So we'll come on out this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's February 11th for a Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery, and tell all the vendors that Mike sent you, and they'll go who, and then tell them, well, Ron. Ron actually sent this. But,
I go, the guy inside. Oh.
Yeah, the guy inside doing the wine. We don't see much of him. But let's see. The tip jar at the winery for this month is for Vet to Vet Reconnect. This is a Clearwater group of veterans helping recent veterans get back into society. They help with housing, job search, paperwork, and any other needs. That sounds like a great, great cause.
It's a Clearwater. It started in Clearwater, and now it's starting to spread around to other cities around the country. So, good thing.
So, stop by and help out a great cause this month. It is for Vet to Vet Reconnect. And you see the tip jar up there on the counter, and add something to it and help out there when you're visiting the winery. Last month's tip jar was for melanoma awareness, another great cause, and raised quite a bit of money. That was fantastic. So let's keep it up and let's do some good here. So stop by the winery and anytime during even normal business hours. So check it out. But we'll see you Saturday at the Wine Fest, Florida State's winery. So be sure to make plans, be there. It's easy to get to, easy in and out, and it's going to be a great day. So
and it's supposed to be a beautiful day too. Weather-wise, it's supposed to be gorgeous. Yeah. So
I thought we were going to get cold sometime this week, but I haven't felt it yet.
Tonight's supposed to get down into the low 50s. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, well, I thought it was going to be colder than that, but oh well. 50s now is kind of like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting tough.
All right. That's right. Our 2 days of winter really takes
It's open.
Mm-hmm. I guess we will go ahead and close the show out unless you have any last-minute thing to add to it. We'll see everybody on February 16th. That's 1 week from today. And we'll talk more about this plain packaging thing. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a little scary. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Yes. Drink lots of wine. And any day is a great day, but the 14th is really a good day. So, enjoy it. And enjoy it with somebody. And we'll see you all next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you very much.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.